He's never yet walked away from me. So there's a joy in that. Sure enjoy that this morning. Glad we got to hear it. I hate we missed it last week, but about 6 months from now, you'll see I'll get in a rhythm and we'll start to get things right. I skipped the prayer this morning, skipped the song last week. So one of these days, all of it will come together. We'll all be on the same page. And if not, me and Brother Norman, we're going to work out some signals. And when I miss something, Brother Norman will be back there signaling, and we'll have it all straightened out. So if you will, this morning, let's grab our Bibles, turn to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. If you notice me hobbling a little bit this morning, it's because I went with a bunch of teenagers yesterday, and I'm not a teenager anymore, so had a good time, but it was... And after service, let me tell you what I'll do. If you want to know which one of these boys screamed like little girls, I can tell you exactly which one. It was a lot of fun. I didn't hear many of the girls scream, but I heard some boys scream like they were little girls. But we had a wonderful time yesterday with the teens, had a great time, great group. Glad to see all of them here this morning. I told them that I'll make sure they stay awake this morning, so I know it's tough. I'm struggling too, so I'm right there with you. But let's grab our Bibles, turn to Numbers 13. Let's all stand in reverence to the Word of God as we read it this morning. We're going to read several verses from down around verse number 26, and this is the we've dealt with several different things with the children of Israel and their crossing of the Jordan over into the promised land and things, but I'm going to touch on that again this morning with a little bit different direction. And this is just for our context this morning. This is right in the midst of where the children of Israel have come out of Egypt, and they find themselves just right there on the edge of the promised land. And you'll find they're sending spies in, and that's where we're going to take off in our scripture reading this morning. In verse number 26, it says, and they went. So the spies have went. They've searched the land for 40 days. You see there in verse 25. And now in verse 26 we pick up and it says, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, the Amalekites, dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And now let's continue on. We're going to read just a few verses in chapter number 14 before we get started this morning. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return unto Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for just this wonderful day that you've blessed us with. We thank you for the wonderful time we had yesterday, God, with the young people, and God, just joy to see them here this morning. And Father, we thank you for every individual that's here this morning, and God, we trust that you will speak to hearts this morning. God, we pray that the Spirit of God would be present in our services today, and that he would do the work that needs to be done in each of our hearts this morning. Father, I pray that the Word of God as it's preached this morning would be a challenge to us, would alter our lives. God calls us to make changes that are necessary, Father, this morning. And Father, my greatest prayer this morning is that if there be one here underneath the sound of our voice, God, that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Father, I pray that today would be the day for them, that they would turn from their sin and turn to Jesus Christ in faith and repentance. And God, just ask you to be their Savior. And Father, we trust that you'll work to that end, and God, we'll give you the glory and the honor for it all. And we thank you for what you'll do, and we ask it now in Christ's name. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. So just to kind of summarize where we find ourselves this morning as we read this passage of Scripture. I said, as the children of Israel, they have come out of Egypt. Moses has led these children of Israel out of Egypt. They have crossed by this time the Red Sea. They have come now to the very precipice of the promised land, the land of Canaan, the land that God had promised to the children of Israel. But now we find them in this predicament. They have sent some spies into the land, and the spies have come back and given a report. And now the question is, what will they do from here? And so let me tell you where I feel like the children of Israel are this morning, and in a way that we can relate it into where many of us maybe find ourselves this morning. You've probably heard the phrase before, but the phrase is this: they were on the fence. They were sitting now at this point, and they've got a direction. They must now choose a direction to go. But at this point in time, at this moment in time, they find themselves and they're sitting on the fence. And that's a phrase that we commonly use today, and it simply means this: that they're in a position where now they've got two different directions they can go. But they don't really want to go either. And so that's where they find themselves. They're sitting on the fence. And let me tell you this morning, just in case you've ever tried it, to sit on the fence is not a comfortable place to be. And we find that the fact is this, that there are many Christians this morning, and probably many that sit here in this room this morning, that are in this same predicament. You're at a place this morning in your life. Maybe you're here this morning and you're lost, or maybe you're here this morning and you're saved. But you're at a point in your life where there's a decision to make. But you don't really want to make a decision. But friend, the children of Israel will find out in not making a decision, they made their decision. And that's what happens, friend. Let me tell you, I think about this, and in this case, and in our case, on either side of the fence, on the one side, there's what Satan would have us do, what the devil would have us do. There's that departure away from God sits on one side of the fence. On the other side of the fence, we find that step that we could take that would draw us closer to the Lord, that would lead us to follow the Lord. And let me tell you what happens is this. You never accidentally fall off on the right side, but many have fallen off on the wrong side. And so, friend, that's what I want to get to this morning. And I want to encourage you from the Word of God this morning. If you're here this morning and you find yourself in this predicament, get off the fence. And that's simply the title of the message this morning. Get off the fence. Friend, you cannot sit on the fence for any length of time. You will doubtless fall to one side or the other. And if you fall, it will be to the wrong side. What you need to do this morning is make a deliberate decision to step to the right side of the fence. And that's what the children of Israel needed to do. They find themselves, and now the spies have come back. They've given this report, and the children of Israel say, God, it's just like you promised. It's just exactly like you told us it was going to be. But I'm not sure we're ready to go in. And that's where they find themselves. They're sitting on the fence. Let me read you a verse of Scripture this morning. Actually, a couple of verses from the book of Titus. And this will be more applicable to us this morning. The Bible says this in the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. It says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And here's why. It says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So as we sit this morning, the two sides of the fence for you and I look like this. On the one side of the fence is the devil and sin and all that would destroy. On the other side of the fence is that life that God has for you. He's promised it to you this morning, and He wants the very best life for you. And that's what lies on the other side of the fence. But there's a deliberate decision that needs to be made this morning. And so what I want to look at, we know, you and I, from history as we read the Word of God, at this point Moses is still the leader of the children of Israel. And what that lets us know is this, that at this point in time, the children of Israel made a choice to turn back. The result was this, they fell off on the wrong side of the fence. But let me tell you this morning, what I want to deal with is this. What is it that keeps us on the fence? What is it that caused the children of Israel to be on the fence only to eventually fall off on the wrong side of the fence, turn from God, reject entering into the promised land, and go back and wander in the wilderness for 40 years? And friend, basically this is true. As the children of Israel spent that time in the wilderness, they were still on the fence. It was an uncomfortable time. It was not what God had planned for them. And that's the fact this morning is that's where many Christians find themselves. They've come out of Egypt. They've left behind that life of sin and they've trusted Christ as Savior and Christ has given deliverance. But God doesn't want to leave you right there on the doorstep of Egypt. God wants to bring you into a land that He's promised. He wants to give you that life of total surrender, that life of victorious life in Christ Jesus. And so if you're anywhere between those two this morning, you're on the fence. And that's where the children of Israel find themselves as they wander in the wilderness for 40 years as a result of their decision here. But what is it that caused them to make that decision? Because I feel if we can figure that out, we can look into our own life and see many of these very same causes that cause Christians today to remain on the fence, refusing to follow God and totally surrender to Him. Let's look first of all at verse 26 through verse 31. It says this, and they went and it came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel into the wilderness of Paran Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and they showed them the fruit of the land. And listen to what they had to say about the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Let me say, first of all, one of the reasons that the children of Israel remained on the fence, and the reason that many Christians today remain on the fence, is doubt. There's doubt. And what happened is this, the children of Israel no doubt had their doubts about whether what God had said about this land was really true. Just like many Christians this morning sit and you hear others maybe who have said this life in Christ of being totally surrendered to Him, this victorious life that Christ wants to give you is the best life. But so many say, I don't believe that. I'm not so sure the Christian life is all that everybody says it is. And friend, that's where the children of Israel found themselves. They said, I know that God has said this is a great land and it's a land that flows with milk and honey and it's a wonderful place. But can we take God at His word? Can we really believe what He said? And so they send in this group of spies and the spies come back with the report and they say, truly, it's exactly as God said it was going to be. It is a land that flows with milk and honey. May I stand here this morning and tell you this, young person or old person alike this morning, what God has promised that this life, this Christian life, this life of total surrender to Him this morning, it is the best life. Can I testify to that fact this morning? It is the best life. Friend, I want you to understand that I don't say this because I've always been in that life. There was a long period of time in my youth when I tried to sit on the fence. I tried to do just like the children of Israel did. I said, you know what? Maybe I can just not make a decision. Maybe I can just stay right here and I can keep some of what I had from the world and I can get a hold of a little bit of what God has for me and I can just kind of sit here right in between the two. Isn't that where many Christians find themselves today? But friend, there came a point when I realized this is an uncomfortable place to be. And I can't spend the rest of my life here because one of two things is going to happen. I'm going to fall off on this side and I'm going to end up right back where I once was, or I'm going to have to make a deliberate choice and surrender my life and place it in God's hands so that He can do with it what He would please and so that I can have the life that He has promised me. Let me read to you in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 24. You don't have to turn there for sake of time this morning, but here's the promise that God had already made to the children of Israel. The words of God from Leviticus chapter 20, verse 24. God said this, but I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it. Doesn't sound like there's any doubts in what God had said. So He says, I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. And now here's the same promise for you and I. He says this in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. He says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Just like He promised victory to the children of Israel, He has promised victory to the believer. But then let me go a step further and say this. You say, well, is this life really, did God promise us the best life as a Christian? Let me give you from the words of Christ Himself in John chapter 10 and verse number 10 where Christ said this, I am come that they might have life, they being the ones who would place their trust in Him. He said, I am come that they might have life and that life more abundantly. You know what that means? God has the best life prepared for you. And He's promised this, that He'll give it to you and He'll give you victory. But what is it that keeps us from having that life, from possessing what it is that God has for us, from yielding ourselves totally under His control? Many times it's doubt. So we saw the doubt that they had concerning what God had promised, whether this land was all that God said it would be. But then the doubt didn't end there, because now they come back, the spies have given a report, and there's no doubt this land is a wonderful land. It is a land that flows with milk and honey. Friend, there's many here this morning that would testify to that along with me, that would say this life of surrender to the Lord is the best life. But maybe there's still some doubt in your mind, like there was for the children of Israel. Because we go on, let us read down through, beginning in verse 28. It says, "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." So basically what's happening is this. Now the children of Israel say, well, the land's exactly like God promised it would be. But I'm not sure we can take it. I'm not sure it's really ours. And friend, that's where a lot of Christians maybe find themselves this morning, is this. They say, well, it does look like that Christian life, that life of total surrender, does look to be a wonderful life. And I've heard so many say that it's so, but I'm just not sure I could do it. I'm just not sure I could live that life. There are a lot of Christians this morning who have convinced themselves, I can't possibly serve God. I can't possibly totally surrender. You don't know who I am. You don't know where I've been. You don't know the things I've dealt with. You don't know the things I'm still dealing with today. And they've convinced themselves, I couldn't possibly have that life. I mean, yeah, that life looks wonderful, but not for me. I couldn't do it. And that's where the children of Israel found themselves. They said that the land is wonderful, but it's not ours. Even though God had already promised them it was. So they had those doubts of saying, look, I don't think we can do it. And friend, there's a lot of Christians that don't live the victorious Christian life because they say, I can't do it. But let me tell you, when you say that this morning, you're right. Just like the children of Israel were, the problem was they were looking to themselves. They said, we can't do it. And I can just imagine God was in heaven looking down and said, you're right, but I can. Friend, that's what God's telling you this morning. If you're here and you say, well, I don't know if I can live that Christian life. It does look like a good life. Friend, I see folks all the time. I think about folks in my own family, and they see my wife and I and our children and the family and the home we have and how God's blessed us, and they look and say, man, I'd like to have that. But that's not for me. I couldn't do that. But friend, it's true. In our flesh, we can't. But God can. God already, in fact, has promised us He will. Not only can God, but He said He will give us that life more abundant. Friend, I'm not here this morning to tell you you're going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise just because you follow Jesus Christ. But I am here to tell you this morning that if you'll follow Jesus Christ and if you'll totally place your life in His hands, you'll have the best life you could ever imagine. And that's what God has for you this morning. And I don't know where you sit on the fence this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, look, God's been dealing with me for a period of time about coming to Him and trusting Him as Savior, but I don't want to make a decision. Because I know if I go over here and I make this decision to trust Christ, it's going to change my life, and I'm not sure I'm ready for that. But if I don't, I know that my sin is going to send me to hell, and I don't know what to do. Let me tell you this morning, trust Christ. You'll never look back. You'll never have a day of regret. I've not yet met one individual who said, boy, I sure wish I'd have never trusted Christ. But I've met many who said this, well, I sure wish I'd have done it sooner. Man, I wish I'd have trusted Christ the first time He spoke to my heart. Man, I wish I hadn't wasted all that time sitting on the fence when I knew God was working in my heart, but I just chose not to respond. Are you on the fence this morning concerning salvation? Maybe you're here this morning and you've been saved, and now the next step of obedience is to follow Christ in baptism. I'm thankful we have planned this morning a baptism following the service, but I know there are others this morning probably who sit here and say, well, I've trusted Christ, and now I know that next step is baptism, but I don't know if I'm ready to do that. Let me tell you, go ahead. You'll never regret it. Friend, that's the first step of obedience to the Lord this morning. Once you've trusted Christ as Savior, the next step is baptism. And that means that you identify yourself with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you let everybody else out here know this morning, I'm identifying with Him. Friend, there may be folks that sit here this morning and nobody even knows that you got saved. But if you'll come forward this morning and take that next step, you can proclaim to everybody that's here this morning, I'm identifying with Him, with Jesus Christ this morning, and I'm taking that next step. I'm getting off the fence this morning. No longer am I going to sit there on the fence, but I'm willing to take that next step in obedience to the Lord. And let me tell you, my friend, it's a joyful thing because that begins that walk of faithful obedience to the Lord. I love it. The people look at baptism and they say, I don't understand. What's the point? Let me tell you, I don't understand it all either. But I know God said, do it. I know God said, follow me in baptism. Friend, I don't understand the reason it is we dip ourselves in water and all that. And I don't understand all of, I see the picture that God wants to paint with that. But I don't know why it is that He's asked us to do that. But I know this, that if I'll take that step of obedience, it's going to make the next one a lot easier. Friend, that's what God's asking you to do this morning. Just get off the fence. And maybe you say this morning, I've trusted Christ as Savior, I've been baptized, but there's something else in my life this morning that God's working on my heart and I'm just not willing to surrender. Would you get off the fence this morning? Friend, the first reason the children of Israel were unwilling to get off the fence and enter into the land that God had promised was their doubt. But now let's take it a step further. Let's look in verse number 31. And it says here in verse 31, but the men that went up with him, these are the others outside of Joshua and Caleb, the other 10 men. And let me say this morning, if we were to take a survey of Christianity this morning, I'd say the numbers are not far off. 2 out of 12 were willing to go into the promised land. Probably not much different than what the statistics are today. For Christians, those who are saved this morning who are willing to totally yield their life to Jesus Christ. I'd say 2 out of 12 is not far off. Friend, that's just the facts. That's the day we live in. There's so many who trust Christ, but then they're not willing to give Him their life. They're trusting Him with their eternal soul, but yet are unwilling to yield their life to His control. Friend, what a pity. But now here's the other 10. Listen to the report the other 10 bring back. Joshua and Caleb say, let's go in and take it. Look in verse 30. Caleb sealed the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But there was only 2 that had that report. Listen to the other 10 in verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able. Listen, why? To go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it, it's a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. First of all, the children of Israel stayed on the fence because of doubt. Second of all, they stayed on the fence because of the difficulties that lie ahead. Let me tell you, friend, this morning, if you yield your life to Jesus Christ and you get off the fence this morning, I'm not going to stand here and say it's not going to be difficult because I'd be a liar. Living the victorious Christian life, living a life of surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ is a difficult thing, and there's great difficulty that lies ahead if you make that choice this morning. Well, let me encourage you, the end's worth it. It's worth it to know He's right there by your side the entire way. It's worth it to know He's the one that lifts you up. He's the one that grants you the strength to be able to live that life. Friend, it's worth it this morning. It will be difficult, but it's worth it. And friend, many Christians are doing the same thing today. They sit on the fence this morning because they look out there at that life of that Christian life of total surrender, and they look and they say, boy, that sure looks hard. And then I've got to show up to church every week. I've got to read my Bible. I've got to pray. I've got to give up those sins that I've been holding on to. They say, well, I've got to, I mean, that's hard. Don't you know how difficult that is? And that's what the children of Israel said. Well, it's just too difficult. Man, I'd sure love to have that land. It looks like a great land, and I know it's a land that flows with milk and honey, but it's just too difficult. We can't conquer it. And friend, that's what a lot of Christians are saying today, but you don't know the addiction I'm dealing with. You don't know the sin that's in my life and how I'm struggling and how I'm battling with it. You don't know what I'm dealing with, and I can't overcome it. Friend, let me read you a verse of Scripture. I want you to turn with me this morning. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. Because here's what God has to say to those who sit on the fence this morning because of the difficulty of living the Christian life, of total surrender, living that victorious Christian life this morning. The ones who refuse to get off the fence, here's what God says. Here's what the Word of God says. 1 John chapter 4, look with me in verse 3 and 4. He says here, "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and this that spirit is that spirit of Antichrist." You know why it is that so many Christians sit on the fence this morning? Because there is a spirit of Antichrist. Listen to what he says. He says, "The spirit of Antichrist, whereof you heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." Friend, there's not a one of us this morning, if we're honest, that could look around and say there's not a spirit of Antichrist, anti-Christianity today. And there's a lot of folks that refuse to get off the fence because they say they are too strong. I can't stand against that. Hey, I know young people that say, "I can't live a life surrendered to God. You don't know what it's like in the public school." Let me let you in a little secret. I know exactly what it's like. And I failed to live that life as a young person. And I regret it every day that passes. But friend, let me tell you this morning, let me give you some encouragement from the very next verse. Because he says, yes, there is a spirit of Antichrist in the world today. And it's going to be difficult if you try to stand up against that. But look at the next verse. One of the greatest verses in all the Bible. He says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them." He says, it's just as good as you've already overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Can I tell you this morning, if you want to stand, if you want to get off the fence and say, "Look, I'm just going to yield my life to the Lord this morning, and I'm going to determine to stand no matter what comes." Hey, greater is he that's in you than anything out there. Anything you come up against, any difficulty you face, you say this morning, "Hey, I've heard young people say this, but you don't know my family. You don't know what I'm up against when I go home this morning." And you're right, I don't. But God does. And he's already said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Everything you're facing out there, greater is he that's in you. Friend, let me tell you this morning, don't refuse to get off the fence because you're afraid of the difficulty that lies ahead. You look out to that Christian life, and if you're truly saved this morning, there's something within every Christian, I believe, that wants that life that's yielded to the Lord, that looks out there and longs for it. But we look out sometimes and we say, "It's just too hard. I couldn't live it. I couldn't do it." But God says, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. So friend, don't refuse to get off the fence this morning because of the difficulty that it would be for you to live the Christian life and to surrender to God this morning. It will be difficult. I'm not going to sit here and try to sugarcoat it for you and make you think that the Christian life, a life of total surrender to God, is an easy life. But it's the best life. It's difficult. But it's wonderful. Friend, let me tell you, the greatest things in life are those things that you work hard for. You've seen, just like I have, how children, when you give them something, they don't care. Doesn't mean very much. But when they earn it, when they work for it, when they had to overcome difficulty, they had to overcome opposition to attain to it, they value it. Friend, that's the same thing in the Christian life. That's why it is difficult. So that you'll value it and you'll see how wonderful it truly is. So don't refuse this morning, like the children of Israel, to get off the fence because of the difficulty of living the Christian life. Well, let's look at one more thing this morning, because this one's probably the greatest thing that keeps Christians on the fence this morning. Some stay on the fence because of their doubts. Some stay on the fence because of the difficulties. But the reason I believe that many Christians stay on the fence is because of a desire for what they left behind. Look with me in chapter 4. Actually, not chapter 4. Verse 1 of Numbers, chapter 13. Back over there to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. And verse number 1, down through verse number 4. Chapter 14, verse number 1. So now they saw the difficulty. They said, "There is grasshoppers, we are as grasshoppers in their sight. And all they were doing, they were overestimating the enemy and underestimating God. That's what so many Christians do. But now look with me in verse 14, and it says, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night." Why were they weeping? Because they truly longed to go into that land. They wanted that land that God had promised them. But look what held them back. "And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness." And look in verse 3 and 4. "And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?" Here's what a lot of Christians say. "Boy, life was sure a lot easier when I was living in sin." They look back after a period of time of being saved and of following God and some of the difficulties and the trials they've experienced. And we look back and we say, "Boy, that life I lived in sin was a lot easier." And in fact, some will look back and they say, "Well, it was better then." And that's what the children of Israel are doing. Wouldn't it be better for us to just go back into Egypt than to go and try to take this land and be killed? Wouldn't it be better just to go back where we came from and go back to Egypt? And they look back and they think, "Man, we had it made back there in Egypt." But it's just a false sense of longing. Because let me tell you this, if they went back to Egypt, it wouldn't have been a day or two later that they said, "Man, this wasn't what we thought it was." We look back a lot of times at the life that we lived in sin, and we look back at it with this foggy view. You say, "Boy, that was a good life. I didn't have it so bad back there. It wasn't so hard. It wasn't so difficult back then when I was living in sin. Was it really that bad?" But let me tell you, friend, if you and I went back to that life in sin, we'd realize in just a moment, this is not what I thought it was. And friend, there are a lot of Christians today that refuse to follow God, refuse to totally yield their life to Him because they've got this longing in their heart for what they once had, for that life of sin that they once lived, for those old friends, those old things that they put away. The Bible says you're made new creatures in Christ. Behold, all things are passed away. All things are become new. Hey, when you surrender your life to Christ, all those old things pass away. But that doesn't mean sometimes we don't look back with a longing. Hey, that's what happens to every one of us. There's not a one of us here this morning, if we're honest, that could say, "I've never looked back at that life." Hey, every one of us, if we're honest, have looked back at it in moments of difficulty, moments of trial, moments of hardship, and said, "Well, that maybe I ought to just give all this up and go back to sin." That's what the children of Israel said. "Maybe I'll just give all this up. I know God's promised us that wonderful land, that land of milk and honey, but it's just too hard." And we had it made back there in Egypt. But they've forgotten the bondage that was there. They've forgotten the cruelty that was there. They've forgotten the torment that they endured at the hands of the Egyptians. Just like you and I, when we look back with that longing, we've forgotten the bondage we had to sin and how we couldn't escape it. We've forgotten the cruelty of sin and how it was destroying our lives. We forget that when we look back. And friend, there are a lot of Christians that sit this morning on the fence and they've got one foot in the world and one foot over here on the other side thinking about surrendering to God. They say, "Maybe I ought to just give it up and go back." Sadly, many Christians do. You, just like I, have seen several individuals over the course of my life in ministry who, man, there was a time when they walked with God. They were faithful to the house of God. They served the Lord. But then some difficulty came, some struggle overcame them, and they turned back. And went back to Egypt. They went back to that life of sin. And friends, sadly, many of them don't make it very long. Some have by now passed off the scenes of this life. Others are now in misery and pain and torment, dealing with the decisions they've made to go back. Friend, let me tell you this morning, a child of God cannot live in sin and be happy. A child of God cannot live in sin and find peace. A child of God cannot live in sin and find joy. Friend, there's a reason that when I ran around with my friends and did the things they did, I never once enjoyed it. And in fact, not only did I not enjoy it, I was miserable, more miserable than I've ever been in my life when I tried to live the way they lived. Because there was something inside of me that said, "This isn't it. This isn't the life I had for you. This isn't the plan I had for you. Just like for the children of Israel, God's saying all the while, please don't turn around. This is not what I had planned. My plan all along, friend, I don't know about you, but I believe with all my heart, God's plan was to take the children of Israel across that Jordan River right into that promised land. But they turned back. They wanted to sit on the fence. They didn't want to trust God. Didn't want to totally yield to Him. And so they turned back. And they spent 40 years on the fence, wandering around in the wilderness. 40 years wasted. And only Joshua and Caleb got to enter in. Those other thousands, probably millions of people, never got to see, never got to taste what it was like to be in that promised land. Friend, I sit here this morning and I wonder this. I wonder how many Christians go through their entire life as a Christian and they don't know what the joy of the Lord really like. They don't know what the abundant life really looks like because they want to spend their entire life right there on the fence. When if only you'd surrender. If only you'd just determine this morning, you know what? I've sat on the fence for too long and I'm getting off. And say this morning, I'm surrendering to Him. Whatever that next step is for you, I'm surrendering to God this morning and I want to get off the fence and I'm going to go with God. And then you'd know. Then you get to experience. Friend, I love how the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Friend, I wonder how many Christians don't even know what that verse means because they've never tasted that abundant life that God's promised to them. They sit there with one hand in the world and one hand over here trying to grasp and hold on to the Lord while the whole time they're trying to hold on to the world and the things they were supposed to leave behind and they're stuck on the fence. And God says, just let go. Just let me work in your life. Will you just surrender? I want to give you the best life. I want to give you a life of abundance. A life like you couldn't have dreamed. Friend, if you'd told me that I was going to be where I'm at today 10 years ago, I'd have laughed in your face and I'd have thought you're crazy. But I just one day decided to get down off the fence. I decided to say, God, it's yours. And friend, let me tell you, there's never been a day of regret. Not a single day. The only days I ever regret now are the days when I get up and decide to do it my way. Never been a day I've regretted when I've just got up and said, God, it's yours. What do you want to do with today? Never been a day that I've regretted getting down off the fence. So friend, this morning, let me tell you, it's time to get off the fence. I don't know what that means for you. Maybe it means this morning you surrender. You finally give in to the conviction that's been working in your heart this morning as God says, look, I want to save you. I want to give you a better life. I want to cleanse you of your sins. But you're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to get off the fence. You're going to have to let go of whatever it is you're holding on to this morning and just trust me. That's what God's saying to you this morning. Maybe you're here and like I said, you've trusted Christ, but you're just not willing to take that next step of faith and trust God and follow Him and believe His baptism this morning. Friend, that's the next step for you if you've not done that. And God's saying to you this morning, hey, I just want you to follow me. I just want you to trust me. I want you to obey me this morning. You may not understand it all. You may not understand all the reasons why, but God's just saying, trust me. Get off the fence. And maybe you're here this morning and you say, I've done that. I've been baptized, but God's working in my heart about just surrendering my life totally to Him. Friend, if you've not come to that point in your life where you got off the fence, now's the time. Just get off the fence this morning. Let's read one more little passage of Scripture, the next few verses in verse number 6. Because here's what happens when you get off the fence. Here's the two that wanted to get off the fence. And you know what happened for them? They got to see. They got to enjoy. They got to recognize. They got to realize it became a reality for them what God had promised. That land that flowed with milk and honey. That land where those wonderful fruits came from. All that God had promised, Joshua and Caleb got to experience for themselves. And here's what verse number 6 through verse number 9. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. They said, oh, it's wonderful what God's promised for us. And then in verse 8, if the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. Listen to what he says, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. That was the attitude of two young men who determined, we're not sitting on the fence. We're all in. We're ready to go. We're ready to take that next step of faith. And friends, you know what happened? They were the only two who got to enter in. So I said it, first of all, 2 of 12, but really it's 2 of millions in this account. 2 out of millions of the children of Israel that came out of Egypt, 2 really got to see what God had for them. And friend, I don't know that maybe that's not the truer statistic this morning. The amount of Christians who totally yield their life and just follow God and allow Him to have full control. Allow Him to give the victories. Allow Him to overcome the obstacles. Allow Him to work in your life. Will you get off the fence this morning? I know without a doubt that's what God wants. Will you just get off the fence this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed, would you stand to your feet this morning?